everyone to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and today is April the 25th. We have lovely weather here. Spring is finally here, and we have a wonderful guest on the Peaceful Planet Show today. We're featuring the work of Christopher Rudy and his writings. He's the journalist, the visionary, a commentator, and one of our own BBS show hosts, and I liked his work so much, I invited him to be on the show. I want to mention a few things before we get into our interview with Chris. The music you were just listening to is titled Abandoned Facts, and that is a little bit of inspiration this morning from none other than Louis Armstrong on the other side, as channeled by Bob Murray. You can hear more of Bob's wonderful music at www.thestarsstillshine.com, and we encourage you to listen to the music that's being produced on this radio program. It's like no other. We've got this inspired music coming in from the heavenly realm. Particularly of interest, of course, is the music done by the Half Beats, inspired by John Lennon and George Harrison. And this is all the work of Bob Murray. I'm working on the lyrics, so it's a wonderful project. And we hope you're having a great day. And we thank you for listening to the Peaceful Planet Show. We've taken a couple weeks off, and we're back on the air. If you are interested in a mini reading this morning, you can call in on our phone line at 888-815-9756. If you have a question, we ask that you prepare your question ahead of time so that we can locate the information. I can do the reading for you very quickly. Because we have a guest today, we won't be doing readings all day on air. But if there's a very urgent need and you'd like to ask a question, we'll be glad to do this in service to the light. So anyway, if not, that's fine too, but we will put the number up out there and you can call in anytime if you have a question for myself or Chris Rudy. Okay, so moving on then, I want to mention a few other things. With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts is my book. It's been out for a number of years now. I've reduced the price of the book from $18 to $13 to help promote world peace in the Middle East. Diana addresses pressing concerns in the Middle East that need to be addressed in order to prevent terrorism and restore a sense of unity to all people. She's been doing this work through me for almost 9 years now, and her messages are awesome and amazing. So I encourage you to check out my website at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where you can also see messages from other of the Ascended Masters and visit my online art gallery. And I want to also mention that readings are still available if you are wanting an hour-long reading or a half-an-hour reading. So many people right now are going through so many changes, and sometimes a reading can really help clarify some of the issues that you're going through. My readings are a little different than most people, and that I bring through messages from Archangel Michael and the higher dimensions. So you're going to get spiritual advice and how to progress on your path in addition to just information that you otherwise wouldn't have available. So that's another thing I want to invite our listeners to check out. You can check out my website. It's posted on about this program. And there you can also check out Chris's website. And I'm going to give you a little bit of information about our wonderful guest, Chris Rudy. You can find his work at www.heartcomm.org. And he has written quite a bit of material on his thoughts and feelings on the dimensional shift that we're about to go through, and how love and the Internet are interconnected, and how so much good is happening in spite of all the other negative, dire predictions that are out there that are going on right now. I understand that a lot of people are having a pretty tough time of it. And so, you know, I wanted to bring this particular author on the show because he has such a positive message about love and the transformation of our society. So it's a great honor to welcome you to our program, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, and I like listening to your show and, you know, your spiel and everything, and you've really got it down in a very magical sort of way.
Well, it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this material titled The Love Model, and you're talking about, you know, our central core freedoms of the Constitution and so on. And I want to get into that, and I also want to say that the theme for our show today is going to be 2012 and what's really happening in our world, what the dimensional shift is. There's a lot of material out there, and a lot of people and authors are exploring this, and I'm going to be reading one of my messages. We're going to be delving into Chris's work, and we welcome calls on the topic of 2012 at 888-815-9756. So if you are listening to the program and you want to ask a question, you're more than welcome to do so. So tell us a little bit more about the love model, Chris, and how you see that evolving into the 2012 matrix.
Well, actually, my take on the love model is more from the perspective of what most people would call the left brain. Most people think of love and they think of a feeling or a frequency
mm-hmm.
of holy compassion. Of course, that's the heart of love.
Mm-hmm.
The way I frame the concept of the frequency of holy compassion is with the what I call the law of the angles, the geometry of divinity, which is like a frame of reference from a mental construct perspective of processes of consciousness that involve and evolve the evolutionary ascent of consciousness. In other words, there is an order to the universe that governs all creation and governs, you know, the processes of consciousness. And there is a framework for that. You might say the constitution of that framework is the constitution of God consciousness, G-O-D, God, as the geometrically ordered divinity, you know, the divine, whether we're referring to the divine mother or the divine father. And usually we think of the divine father in terms of the lawgiver. And we think of the Divine Mother in terms of the love giver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I have a way of orienting the concept of the love model, or universal love, cosmic love.
I love your concept. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are you a mathematician by trade?
Actually, I was in college in architectural engineering
mm-hmm.
until in deep meditation one time, you know, really in pursuit of the mysteries, the sacred mysteries, the Kundalini shot up my spine. I had cosmic consciousness and some amazing, inexplicable experiences that led me out to a mystery school, the Rosicrucian University, to study the mysteries of God immediately. I mean, I just hitchhiked out there right then.
Wow. So you got instant Kundalini activation, instant enlightenment, huh?
Oh, I had one of those, you know, almost experiences, it's almost sacrilegious to talk about, or, you know.
Yeah.
But it was one of those life-changing, big-time
mm-hmm.
life-changing experiences that set my sails. And I have a story on that called On the Path with pictures, because I was freelancing photography for many years, and at that time I was freelancing, and I shot pictures on the way out, and it's quite an amazing story on the path, an experience that happened that the synchronicity was so far beyond, you know, that I, you know, it was, when I say it set my sails, there's definitely an invisible hand working, you know, that's really what I came up with.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds very mathematical to me, and I'm not a math person, but I do know something about, you know, the sacred geometry and how that works in creation, because I'm a channel for the higher dimensional
uh-huh.
forces and guides, the angels and Ra and some of these others. And they talk about that being sort of the materials of creation, that these geometric forms begin to oscillate in space, and that is how life is formed.
Yeah, it's true. And matter of fact, a very simple way of looking at it is that there's three basic energy fields that are within fields of all creation. They're called the right dynamic energy fields, the round magnetic energy fields, and the radiant energy fields. And on an atomic level, you know, all fields within fields are combinations of the right dynamic, round magnetic, and radiant. And you might say that's the square, the right dynamic, you know, like, you know, the linear squaring, crosses. In astrology, the squares and opposition, you know, the energy of a linear sense. And the circle is the round magnetic energy fields. This is the sometimes referred to as spherical consciousness, the nonlinear. It's not it's very different from the right dynamic energy field. It's a nonlinear round magnetic, and this is in astrology, you know, what goes on with conjunctions, with the blending of energies. There's a spherical, you know, oneness, and the concept of oneness with the spherical kind. Anyway, the third is the radiant dynamic, which is like the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. And, you know, in astrology, it's like your trines and your sextiles resonate with those energies. And so you can look at the astrology, the psychology, the physiology, you know, of all creation. And basically it's what's going on within the hemispheres of the brain. The left brain is the linear, the logical, you know, left brain, letter of the law. And the right brain is the spherical, nonlinear, you know, feelings, you know, that are, you know, that is and that corresponds to audio, whereas the left brain corresponds to visual, you know, linear visual. And the nonlinear audio right brain, the way they synthesize is like the Trinity. And of course, there's two types of synthesis that goes on. There's the synthesis in the third eye chakra, or the higher brain, which is like the capstone, and then there's a synthesis in the lower brain. Sometimes called the R complex or the reptilian complex, you know, the fight or flight syndrome in the base of the brain. And of course, the fear matrix ties us into the lower brain, and the faith matrix ties us into the higher brain with the capstone trinity. So those dynamics, it's like the holographic universe on all levels of energy fields within fields, and it's actually the brain is the holographic field that's you know, a function of these same bioenergetic universal laws. And there is a geometry to it, or a mathematics to it. And it's like the law of the one, you know, the number one is the spherical consciousness, everything's all connected. And the two in one is like the spirit of the infinite and the eternal that ascends and descends in this dense octave of physical incarnation. So you have like the vertical and the horizontal, which is like the linear intersect. You know, as above, so below, before it meets, there's that, like the white light of the infinite eternal hits the prism of human consciousness and refracts into all the colors of the rainbow. And you've got, you know, full spectrum consciousness at a higher level, and you've got, you know, consciousness that, you know, with, you know, at a dimmer level in the lower brain, which is more reactive, whereas the higher brain is more proactive. So you've got these dynamics going on, you know, with the, you know, language.
Now, I'll tell you something. In my channeling with Princess Di and John Lennon and everything, I know that you don't actually even need the brain to communicate thoughts and words and sentences, that spirits themselves continue on, and they have all of this intact on the other side, too. So,
oh, yeah,
I'm not sure how...
that's definitely true. The brain is just, it's really beyond consciousness, the holographic consciousness. You know, we go to where we're coming from in this octave, and this is just like a dense grounding of the testing, you might say.
Yeah, I would say it's a testing right now. Yeah. It feels like that to me.
It's the test that's best, I call it.
The test that's best.
They say that there's seven times the opportunity for spiritual growth in this dense octave of incarnation because there's something to work against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
find that to be, you know, true. I mean, without the challenges, how do we get to the refinement of the expression? And, you know, without, being in the third dimension, I mean, I think being in the third dimension is wonderful if you can access the fourth and the fifth, you know, because after I turned on to my psychic abilities, I started getting all this knowledge that was so far beyond me that, you know, it has a lot to do with our topic today, 2012 Ascension and the dimensional shift. But, you know, we can't even be aware of that until we open our minds to all of this.
And,
you know,
a real problem is languaging as we know it. I mean, there's languaging on the inner effective sensory perception. You know, there's nothing extra about it when you've got it. You know, real effective sensory perception is, you know, there's no time or space there. You don't need wires. You don't need words. You just, there's a knowing, you know. And, but the biggest problem in the physical octave and the time space habits that we have, that, you know, we've all been inculcated with, is language. It's like words are symbols of symbols, twice removed from the truth.
Yeah. I agree with you on that point, because how many times, you know, have you said something that somebody took the wrong way, or, you know, your words conveyed a whole different essence than, you know, that's why you've got to be an effective communicator, because you've got to put the emphasis on your words so that the words carry, I think, sort of an emotional tone to them so people can comprehend it. But that isn't always available if you're just writing an email.
That's right.
For instance.
And a good example of that, part of the problem with understanding the dimensional shift and what's really going on with the accelerating rate of change on the 2012 timeline, part of the problem there is the language of the dimensional shift. What is the first dimension? What is the second dimension? Third, fourth, and fifth dimension. And now this gets into what you might call the mathematics, or what I would call the geometry.
Well, definitely. It's a mathematical and geometric expression, and Einstein was the one that came up with the dimensions, you know.
The unified field theory.
Well, and, before him, you know.
Right. And, of course, the mystic saints and avatars throughout history have also been into the unified field theory.
Yeah.
No
doubt.
Basically, they've been... Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And so there's this thing of the unified field theory really is the law of the one, the circle, and how everything is connected. Now, he got into the mathematical connections to the energetics, you know, laws of on an atomic level, so to speak. But, of course, as we know, the law of connection is the as above, so below, the microcosm and the macrocosm. It's the energetics of the entire universe and how, you know, in the moment, those laws, as you basically tap, you know, it's the holographic field, the energy field, the unified field, there are ways to access that, and the key way that's used by mystics and saints and devotees throughout history that were into the mysteries, and this is ancient history. You get into the key way was geometric thought forms for the expansion of consciousness, and that understanding of what you know, Hermes Trismegistus, you know, the ancient Hermes Trismegistus said that in the beginning God geometrized. Well, God consciousness is geometrically ordered divinity consciousness in the sense it's frames of reference, it's processes of consciousness that have frames of reference with the circle, triangle, and square. And, for example, the unified field is the circle, you have the idea of spherical consciousness. You know, the spherical consciousness, truly spiritual, the law of the one. And then you get into, from that, the law of the two and one. And this is the realm of duality versus polarity. And there's a big difference. See, that polarity is the two in one. It's like in a true marriage of the alpha and the omega, or the male and the female principle. You know, there's the true marriage, the two in one. With the holy synergy with children, and then you have the concept of duality, which is the divide and conquer, or the idea of the division and the sense of separation, which is the cause of all suffering, as Buddha called it.
Well, I would agree with that. The separation consciousness is the cause
of
suffering, and we still are afflicted with a good deal of that.
Well, yeah,
it seems
of course
to be highlighting instead of going the opposite way.
I'm
sitting here thinking, why isn't everything getting better when we have so many enlightened light workers around doing their various things? You know, I've been working on the Middle East for forever.
I've really looked at that from a lot of different angles too. And this is what happens when you get out of the law of the one, the first dimension. You know the mind is naturally goes into something is right compared to something, you know, I mean, right and wrong, left and right. The whole idea of when you're not in that sense of the oneness, you know, the wholly connected, you know, all connected sense of everything is in divine order. You know, the universe is in divine order in that sense of everything is in divine harmony. It's like, again, you look at it from the two perspectives. Now, a lot of people think the law of the one is, you know, just a feeling of love. And of course, men tend to see the law of the one as they see the order and the patterns and the meaning of things, you know. But this concept of polarity versus duality, this is second dimensional thinking. And again, there's a higher dimension of it, which is the two in one, and lower dimensions, like in the reptilian brain, it's the fight versus flight. It's the
separation consciousness.
The separation consciousness.
And that's
right.
Not where you or I are at. But you know, I guess my question isn't to double up on duality, but just if there's so many people awakening to oneness, we just haven't arrived yet. But that has to do with 2012. I mean, you know, by then we're supposed to be there.
Well, not too far away now.
And
I think, you know, again, it's just like how you frame 2012 is how in the continuum, see, there is no time or space. 2012 is now in the continuum. And so how you frame it now is where you're going, because we all go to where we're coming from. We create habits, you know, our behavioral styles of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting. And so how we see it now in the continuum, and this is where these thought forms for expanding consciousness are really priceless. And it's this, you know, so you go from one dimension, two dimension, and you get to three dimension, the third dimension. And there's a lot of, you know, confusion of that, but if you take the Trinity, the concept, again, there's a Trinity going into the reptilian brain and a Trinity going into the crown chakra and the third eye chakra, you know, the higher chakras, you know, the higher consciousness. And you have the creative process is, you know, the co-creation with God at the highest level, co-creation. You know, you have yourself and you have your higher self and you have your, you know, I am presence or real self or God self. And, you know, that's like going up from, you know, the center of your consciousness into your higher third eye chakra and into your crown chakra. And then you've got, you know, in the other end, you've got the Trinity and the lower, and this is what the fear matrix, where it takes people, it's the divide and conquer. It's the creating and managing terror, crisis, you know, disease, war, and hell on the planet. And this is what you've got in the Middle East.
And I keep getting a picture of George Bush in the back of my mind every time you say that.
Yep.
That consciousness, because that was his consciousness.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he's gone, but he wreaked a lot of havoc in the Middle East.
Well, the neocons, I call them the Zionazis and the Illuminati or whatever, you know, they're still playing their game, and they basically, you know, their judgment is nigh, because the 2012 timeline is really going, it's all going on linear into spherical consciousness, and there's accountability on all levels of, you know, from the reptilian brain.
Oh, isn't there now? You know, you are seeing more accountability and more need to answer for some of the things that have gone on. But, you know, I mean, I've been working on this Middle East peace process thing for a long time. And, you know, I would have expected certainly by now that there would be a peace between Israel and a new Palestinian state. That's particularly my work. But, you know, I mean, my work with Diana, that is not my work in the world. But it is my work in the world to get the messages out, you know. So the thing is, you know, I think our expectations have just been, you know, very high when we're coming from the love paradigm or the love model, as
That's
you
right.
are and as I am.
That's right.
And our expectations are very high. And then we see, oh, but, you know, the whole world is sort of collapsing around us and everyone's being impacted by the financial crises. And these things appear to be orchestrated by people of the lower realms, shall we say. And
it's interesting how you know, what's happening is there's more and more people waking up, and there's a lot of people waking up with contempt for, you know, you might say, the powers that be that are, you know, creating and managing crisis, terror, war, etc., for control and power. And other people are waking up to that eternal salvation. I mean, they're waking up to they're there. They're already there. Shift, the dimensional shift. They've gone right through. I mean, this is the dimensional shift thing that's going on. The law of the one, the two in one, the three in one, and then you get to the four in one, and this fourth dimension and third dimension, understanding it from a geometric perspective, between your ears. And what's going on in the left and right hemispheres, the upper brain, the lower brain, it's like there's a cosmic cube there. And this is where the four in one comes in. I mean, a two-dimensional way of looking at the cube is just a square.
But in the third dimensional, you know, there is a cube, you know, like a holographic field. It's sometimes referred to in the mysteries of God as the most powerful thought form in the universe and the key to the ascension of the planet. And of course, it's a synthesis of the law of the one, the two in one, and the three in one. And the synthesis is you've got, at the very center of the cube, you've got all these pyramids running into the center. And you might say the center is the capstone of each one of those pyramids. Well, that capstone is the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. It's the law of the one. And you've got the two-in-one up the sides of the pyramid, which is, you know, the three-in-one. You know, in the 3D sense, you've got then all these pyramids, you might say all these dimensions, you know, as above, so below, vertical, horizontal, and, you know, you've got the... basically a field, sometimes referred to as a prayer field, because where we put our attention is where our God is. So you pray for, or, you know, focus your intention or attention with pure intention. That creates a prayer field. And, of course, what it leads to is evolutionary ascension of that capstone consciousness, that spherical consciousness of how it's all connected in all those dimensions. So multidimensional thinking always includes the law of the one, the two in one, the three in one, and the four in one. It's never the sense of separation. And when I say the four in one, the fourth dimensional thinking, this is where, you know, all time and space becomes relative. That unified field becomes a real thing with ESP, not in terms of extrasensory perception, but the effective sensory perception. There's no time and space, and you can basically, in the time-space continuum, you're in 2012 right now, when a person is centered, connected, and otherwise whole. So healing, wholeness, holistic healing, you know, on this timeline, the healing crisis that the world is in right now, it's going nonlinear. And so all these linear constructs of ownership and control, you know, are disintegrating. And, you know, it's a matter of man's law is becoming quickly obsolete by God's law. Man's law says, you know, corporate law says that wherever profits are at stake, the shareholders come before the public. Well, then you've got, that gives a whole justification of military-industrial complex to make a killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And the same thing with the medical-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what drives, you know, war on the planet and disease on the planet and plagues and the creation and management.
Yeah, I'm not too pro-medical at this point either. I think big pharma.
Well,
it's
the same situation as the medical industrial complex. It's the
mm-hmm.
military industrial complex when you've got huge organized, you know, special interests that have a, you know, vested interest in indirectly causing disease and indirectly treating it. And like indirectly causing diseases, indirectly causing war, like letting 9/11 happen, you know, whether there was insiders behind it or whether they just let it happen, it's the same thing. You know, how you create and manage war, disease, you know, on the planet, you know, for profit and power. And that's all coming to an end, and it's coming to an end fast. And,
well, it is, and the whole thing is that there is a cosmic design and there is
yeah.
a galactic shift. And I wanted to read that message that I had mentioned to you.
Oh, please do.
About the fourth dimension, and I think it'll shed some light on our topic of 2012 and where we're going in this sort of nonlinear fourth dimensional timeline that is approaching us in 2012. And after I read this, we may need to take a little breather, do a little music. We'll see where we're at, and maybe
okay.
you'd like to comment on it, too. Whatever. So, this is titled A Timely Message from Ra and the Heavenly Host, and this was channeled in a couple years ago when there was an earthquake that struck the Midwest. And it was timely because of that, and as I was typing out the message, the earth started to shake again.
Really?
So I was writing it, and it's right here in the message, and I'm saying, I wish to ask about the earthquake last night and today. It was quaking as I was typing my invitation to the spiritual wisdom. I have had warnings from Archangel Michael about this very thing. And this is Ra and the Heavenly Host speaking here.
Okay.
This is a collective group soul from the higher dimensions. We will address your concerns one at a time. We are the collective of the heavenly host and Ra. Greetings in the name of the one infinite creator God. Praise Adonai. The inhabitants of Earth will continue to experience the expression of beloved Mother Earth as she quakes and trembles, and the Earth changes will be fetched with some inconvenience to the dwellers of third density Earth. This is a rather general statement we do recognize. We ask to assure the readers and listeners of Marsha's audience that although another quake in the area of the New Madrid fault line may come, we do not at this point expect it to cause major loss of life for all the inhabitants of the region of the Midwest of the United States. This being said, there are always the movements of plates to some extent unpredictable, and the thrust of those underground movements as experienced is somewhat traumatic, even if no loss of life occurs. You are all walking on shaking ground. And that, my dear friend, is not a comforting experience for the dwellers of the third density. There will be cleansings many up until the appointed hour of ascension, and Earth must be able to cleanse herself of the great negativity that mankind has perpetrated in order to restore her original vibration of that pristine paradise. As the fourth dimension nears its appointed arrival, then these experiences will unfortunately become much more pervasive. Human consciousness and prayer can do much to ease the situations that seem fearful, and in the event of any major cataclysmic event. All the members of the said meditation group and those who hear this message must learn to go within to hear the vibrations of Mother Earth in her birthing process. All who are ascending will not be hurt and will be remaining on Earth to ascend with the body of the Mother, as she is cloaked in her glorified garment of the fourth density consciousness and mantle. Her crust is moving and her mantle is shifting to adjust to the garment of her new apparel. So from her point of view, she would harm no one, but in the course of human miscreated thought, this does occur, we so regret to say. May peace be upon you today and always. We are here whenever you call for us for direction and guidance. Adonai, this is Ra and the Heavenly Host. So that was a bit long, but what a message, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're talking about moving into the fourth density and that these cleansings will continue. It also makes me think, of course, of the recent earthquake in Italy,
yeah,
too, which was so tragic. So there's a lot of this kind of thing going on, and yet we have assurance that those of us that are of the light vibration that are planning to ascend will be ascending with the planet and will not be removed from, you know, from these earth changes. So I take that as a comfort personally and to those listening as well.
Yeah, and I'm really interested in a multi-perspective look at this process, sometimes
mm-hmm.
referred to as the dimensional shift,
mm-hmm.
the 2012 timeline, and why things are uniquely different now with this acceleration, and the acceleration is the rate of change itself. And what's the real story, you know, connecting the dots with the economy and from the perspective of where it's really going and what we're hearing about, you know, where it's going from powers that be, so to speak, in the mainstream media. And what you might say, what's the higher dimensional perspective on where it's really going?
Well, what I've gotten for years, and Archangel Michael actually came to me and asked me to deliver a message to my listeners 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Chris, where he said that the markets would continue to tumble, and it was just when they were starting in late 2007, and then, of course, 2008, you know, is when it really hit hard, but From what I've gleaned from the higher sources, that this is all intentional in order to expose the fraud, the greed, and all of this other.
Yeah,
and
part of the purging.
It's part of the purging. It's part of, you know, unfortunately, there's so many people at the lower end of the scale that are receiving the raw deal on this. But I think a lot of people at the high end are receiving the raw deal, and their dirty deeds are coming out at this time, and I think that's the purpose of it. But
yeah.
It's hard for people to live through foreclosure and to live through job loss, and the extent to which we're seeing it just seems unending, doesn't it?
No, yeah, and I read a really good article just today. Matter of fact, I put it up on, I put the link to it up on my BBS radio talk show information for today. I put it right up at the top. It's under the category of understanding the dimensional shift of the 2012 timeline. And anyone else isn't listening to the BBS radio?
That's not a caller. I think someone's trying to personally call me, so just ignore that. Are you hearing that noise?
Oh, okay. So anyway, the article was by Barbara Hanclow.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm referring to?
I've read her. I've heard her name.
Barbara Hanclow?
I've heard of her, yeah.
She did a recent book, Alchemy of the Nine Dimensions, which gets into the 2012 that thing. And this book just came out this last year, Decoding
mm-hmm.
The Crop Circles in the Mayan Calendar. But she's really, one of the really excellent authors on the subject of what's going on the 2012 timeline. And she's also very astute, like you have medical intuitive. She's like an astrological intuitive.
mm-hmm.
And this article that just came out, well, actually it was Taurus New Moon, April 24th, 2009, which is, yesterday. But it's what's going on right now. And one of the things she says that really grabbed me this morning, I was reading it, in that kind of that meditative state after waking up and kind of a lucid clarity, because her stuff is always, I always have to read that when I'm really fresh, so to speak, And she was saying that what's going on, and she goes into in depth into the astrology that's been going on. And I've taught an advanced astrology workshop, so that's the language I speak, and that's one of the reasons I really like her work. But she was saying that war will not end until the economy totally collapses, and it's obviously why, because the war is the whole military-industrial complex. In Israel and the whole thing with Iraq, Iran, all these this ongoing empire war expansion thing. It's obviously as long as they have any moneyed power at all, they're going to continue doing what they're doing for more moneyed power.
mm-hmm. Very interesting. So that's what's behind some of this, because I was of the impression it was exposing the corruption and ending a lot of the greed. Totally. And I guess
That's all part of it, but in
mm-hmm.
the meantime, it's almost like the economy as we know it. And of course, the interesting thing with the dimensional shift is what the new economy is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the positive message I like to dwell on more, because most people can't conceive what it will be with no economy.
Well, I'm with you on that with the new economy. I think it'll be more a situation of we're still going to use money. There may be more barter. There's going to be, a shifting where I think it's going to spread out and equalize. Don't you feel that way?
Oh, yes. Well, that's what the dimensional shift is. It's a shift to the currency. The new currency for the next economy is the currency of conscience, effective sensory perception, not ESP. There's nothing extra about it, when you got it. And with the dimensional shift, everyone's going to have, and is getting it, a new currency of conscience, which is this effective sensory perception. In other words, holy compassion won't be an abstract.
Mm.
And this is what the dimensional shift is. It's not just geometric thought forms. It's the frequency of compassion is the heart of it. That's the law of the one. A lot of people, and I quite often think of the law of the one in terms of, how everything is connected, connect the dots to the picture. But really, the big picture is it's the frequency of holy compassion. And it has to go in that direction, because as the purging, as the toxic purging, and we're talking about spiritual toxins, mental toxins, emotional toxins, physical toxins, as we address the toxins, unless there's a holy compassion for life itself, And again, it comes down to a lot of people think that this evolutionary ascent process will only happen in higher octaves. Well, that's the dimensional shift is happening in that regard, because when you've got, when the only place to go is up for survival, or you know what I mean? When the only place you've got to go is up in frequency,
mm-hmm.
and in consciousness, because with this dimensional shift and with the big tests that are coming, that people will realize that we're going to go to where we're coming from, out of body or otherwise. I mean, you know, sooner or later, we're all going to die, sooner or later. So with that understanding, with the dimensional shift that we go to where we're coming from, there's going to be a very much of a pure intention for focused attention on this evolutionary ascension process, because it's like making hay while the sun shines. You know, while we've got a body, you know, and a mind and a spirit and an opportunity for evolutionary ascent, you know, make the most of it.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people say they feel grateful to be alive at this time because of the ascension process going on. I personally feel that way, and I think that these
yeah.
changes are coming. But when, you know, when I read the message, for instance, it does describe some of these third dimensional earth changes with earthquakes and so on, and so on. But the truth is, though, when they're talking about the fourth dimensional mantle and crust and all that, it's very eloquent, but I'm not really sure what they mean.
Well, yeah, and
because they're describing
very,
something that we're moving into.
The best way I've found of explaining this progression of the fourth through the third, fourth, and fifth dimension is this law: the 1, 2, and 1, 3, and 1, 4, and 1, as a function of, you know, the circle, and the 2 and 1, and you can see this, you know, also in the symbol of the Tao, you know, that's like the 2 in 1. There's the 1, and then the energy cycles into the 2 in 1, and when you get into the concept of the Trinity, you know, the 3 in 1, a third dimensional thinking. Again, it's important to reference through this whole progression of the dimensional shift. There's the difference between, for example, in the 2 in 1 polarity between duality, and to maintain that, you can't really progress dimensionally, higher dimensionally, because there's a higher and a lower dimension in each of these dimensions, and that's. And then there's a threefold aspect as you go before you go to the fourth dimension. There's a threefold aspect that must be mastered to go to the higher fourth dimension. There's a lower fourth dimension also, and you can't get to the fifth dimension until you master the higher fourth dimension. Just like you can't get to the fourth dimension until you've mastered the higher third. For example, and this is interesting with this thing of the Trinity, the higher aspect of the Trinity. Sometimes referred to as the threefold flame of power, wisdom, and love. You know, there's the love of power, and then there's the power of love. One is the shadow of the other. Carl Jung talked about this. And then in the middle, there's the wisdom to know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So the power, wisdom, and love Trinity is the higher third dimension, this threefold flame within our hearts, you know, the heart of our conscience, you might say. This threefold flame, the mastery of that, is what leads to the fourth dimension. And again, there's the higher fourth dimension, and the way to visualize that is to see the four sides of the pyramid. And there's a threefold flame on each of those sides, and those four sides are like the four lower bodies. There's the physical body, there's the emotional body, the mental body, and there's the spiritual, etheric body, you know, in the capstone. And so there's a threefold flame to each of those sides there to get to the kiss. So the higher third dimension leads to the fourth dimension in the cap. Well, you might say the four sides of the pyramid is the fourth dimension, and the lower part of that fourth dimension is basically an unbalanced threefold flame of power, wisdom, and love. And we're talking about God power, God wisdom, and God love, geometrically ordered divinity, wisdom, power, and love.
Now, these are all abstract mathematical type concepts.
Well, they're thought forms. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Great Pyramid as you describe this. It's interesting that you're using these analogies. I want to ask you some specifics on what you feel will transition as we go into the energies of the fourth and the fifth. Some people who are claim to be ascension experts feel that we will, you know, change our bodies and take our bodies with us into these dimensions. Other people feel that these are etheric dimensions. I personally feel these are etheric dimensions, and I'm not sure how we would transition into these higher dimensions as the Earth transitions into the higher dimensions. But, you know, I've got assurance from my guides and sources and my source that, you know, basically I'm already working with these higher dimensions, so, you know, I'll be transitioning with it, with the Earth at that time. But I'm not really, you know, I've got a concept. Everybody's got a little bit of a different concept. I wondered what your concept was on whether we're taking our physical vehicle with us because of the change in the DNA, or, you know,
it really,
how
it
you
really comes down
it.
To the law of accountability, cosmic accountability in this whole process is that we go to where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is in the continuum. It's heaven or it's heaven right now. You know, in the continuum. I mean, 2012 nonlinears. That in the continuum, it's heaven or hell. It's what we create. It's the old life is what you make it. Dimensional shift is what you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep, I'm done with that.
The pure intention part of it is you might say. The spherical consciousness, the law of the one. Pure intention, like the 2-in-1, the 3-in-1, the 4-in-1, the 5th-in-1, this whole dimensional thing, without that pure intention, I mean, you know, you just don't maintain it here and now. The other dimension of that from the pure intention is the focused attention. Where you put your energy, your thoughts, is where one's God is. Their worth-ship, the worship. Worship is worth-ship. What's of value to them. So the focused attention with the pure intention is, and this gets into the threefold flame again, the evolutionary ascension of love is a function of your pure intention with focused attention. You follow me?
I do, but if you have your language and your nomenclature really down, Chris, and you've got it down, but I'm thinking, okay, so that is, I understand that's where we're going, and in a sense, we've already arrived because of the nonlinear time thing. But I guess I'm asking you, how do you see the world after we transition into this?
Well,
that's what I'm getting at, because I'm not sure how I see it either.
I think it really comes back to this: mankind has free will, so anything is possible.
Because I've been told that it will be like a whole new Earth. The oceans will change, and
you know, I think it's going to be different things for different people. I mean, when we get a message from the other side, it's very easy for them to say how things are.
Yeah, because you know they're already there.
They're already there. Yeah.
So it doesn't involve any pain for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what it is, the frustration we have, and this is, you know, this is back to the mismatched expectations. You know, we've had expectations that things were going to change by now, and I've talked to a lot of people like that who are just so bummed because they...
I'm feeling frustrated right now as a light worker because
yeah.
I was thinking that certainly by now, yes, I had the information about earthquakes and continuing earth changes. Yeah, I get that. Really easily, that's easy to see, but I wasn't expecting the world to be in such a mess with all this dross going on still.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I've known people that have basically checked out years ago because they thought that the big change, you know, with the movement of the New Age movement back in the 60s and 70s, they got so bummed by what happened in the 80s and the 90s that they just checked out a long time ago, or you know what I mean. They just, and so I think all conflict is caused by mismatched expectations. I have to take the attitude on a regular basis that justice that just is. That the universe is in divine order, and when I go with the flow of the big picture, realizing that, you know, that everything is 100 Everyone is 100% right for their prevailing awareness, or anyway, for their prevailing awareness. And that everything is in process, and the process is accelerating. And I'll just say, by God's grace and in God's time, you know, there's going to be the switch is going to go on, and there's just going to be I think it's happening. I really think it's happening. There's a lot of people all over the world that are just basically, you know, waking up to, you know, that there are solutions, and that as the self-evident solution, you know, the love model, as the self-evident solution becomes more evident, I think what it is that people realize what the real problem is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, that's what I like about your work, Chris, because you've got a very simple take on it. You know, John Lennon had the same take. Princess Di had the same take. The Peaceful Planet show is all about helping to bring love and peace to the planet. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
So your matrix, your idea is all solid. And I love what you do with the sacred geometry and your way of explaining things in a very mathematical sort of way. It's very unusual and unique to hear your perspective on how this all is going to work. And it's wonderful. I like your show, too. I think you're doing a great
you.
Job.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and I think you've certainly got an interesting take on ascension and how it's operating. It seems to me like these are events of cosmic proportion, and that just one person's opinion or take or book on it isn't enough to totally bring a comprehensive viewpoint of,
that's why the changes
are going on.
I've interviewed a lot of 2012 authors recently, and I continue to, you know, surf the web and read books and basically, you know, link the light of what this dimensional shift, this evolutionary ascent, personal and planetary, is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just...
Yes, and that's what I'm doing, too, on my show, and I really appreciate having your perspectives on. What's the name of your show again, Chris? And
it's called Cosmic Love.
Uh-huh, Cosmic Love, and it airs tonight?
Tonight, 5 p.m. California time. That would be East Coast time. I guess that's 8 o'clock, 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm going to be talking about the dimensional shift. I've got a lot of links of recent articles I've done on the dimensional shift right at the top of the Cosmic Love webpage tonight.
Okay, well, that sounds wonderful. Well, we're almost at time here, and we're going to play some music and close out our show. I want to thank you, Chris, for coming on the show and sharing
your
wisdom.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It was wonderful hearing you in person and your sharing for the Love Model and all your other theories on Ascension 2012, and it was really nice getting to know you a little bit more. And we're going to play some special music. We're going to play The Long Road to Nepal. This is music by Bob Murray, and we encourage you to listen to more of his music that you can hear for free on his site at www.thestarsstillshine.com. I want to encourage you to visit Chris's site at www.heartcom.org and read some of his articles on the Love Model and some of his other articles. And want to encourage you to visit my site at www.DianaSpeaksToTheWorld. We're closing out for the Peaceful Planet today. We're going to listen to The Long Road to Nepal. Thank you for joining us, and join us again next week.
Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you, Chris. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.